Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm your host, Michael Keegan, and today's conversation is with Rear Admiral Christine Hunter, Deputy Director, TRICARE Management Activity within the U.S. Department of Defense. Also joining us in our conversation from IBM is Terry Ergens. Admiral, could you give us a sense of the different benefit packages that are available under TRICARE?
So we're starting to talk about our TRICARE family of products. We have our enrolled plan, which we call TRICARE Prime. We have a plan that is available in all of the areas where we don't offer an enrolled plan, you know, areas where there aren't many military, but you can use it anywhere, very portable, our TRICARE standard, much like a fee-for-service plan. And then we have a TRICARE Extra plan, where patients can use a network provider who may or may not be with our enrolled plan while not enrolling themselves and have a lower cost share in that plan. In addition, we provide dental plans. We provide our TRICARE for Life, which is essentially a wraparound to Medicare for those who are over 65. And we have our newest addition to the family of plans, our TRICARE Reserve Select, which helps protect our reserve and guard when they are not on active duty. It's an insurance plan, uses the TRICARE standard type of model, and they can use that for any authorized physician anywhere in the country.
Understanding the benefit packages, what's TRICARE's role in pre-deployment?
Well, let's talk about that typical guard and reserve person, because I think that might provide a great example. So if you are serving in the guard or reserve and you are notified that you will be mobilized for deployment, for example, you may already have our TRICARE Reserve Select as your health insurance, or you may have employer-sponsored health insurance. And so 90 days before you actually mobilize, you become eligible for our TRICARE as though you were active duty. And during that time frame, we'll look at all of the things that might affect your health while deployed. That can either be done military hospital or clinic or through one of our civilian providers in our network. That will be done again when you get to the mobilization processing center. That's nearly always by military providers. We are looking for things that might not allow you to deploy, might not allow you to be as physically active, or might require adjustment while you are deployed, or anything health maintenance-wise that we can get done because it might come due during the time that you're gone. We look at your medications to be sure that we can supply them and there won't be any, if, for example, you're taking a medication that doesn't allow you to be exposed to a lot of heat, that might prevent you from going certain areas. If you're on a medication that's a gelatin capsule, it might melt if you go into a hot environment. So we adjust all of those things. We try to give some training about what's available for health support while they're away and some education on how to remain fit and healthy when you're in an environment that's both physically and emotionally demanding. And resilience, psychological resilience training before people deploy. And then as they deploy, they receive both routine and emergent health services if they're injured. On the way back, there are at least two health screenings that are conducted to screen for those sorts of psychological, medical, physical problems that might have emerged during the deployment. And then several weeks later, we have a reassessment where we ask people, again, particularly to go through some of their psychological health issues. And we're at that point particularly looking for any symptoms which might suggest post-traumatic stress and want to get folks into counseling or supportive therapy as quickly as we can, or any physical symptoms which may have emerged later. That's a little bit about the pre- and post-deployment. And as reserves actually demobilize, they remain and the families remain eligible for health care through the Transition Management Program for 6 months. So we have programs on either side of the deployment where we provide insurance-type coverage for people if they need it during that time frame.
The TRICARE Management Activity administers the health care plan for 9.5 million service members, retirees, and their families worldwide. To do this successfully, TRICARE contracts with managed care support contractors and recently selected new TRICARE regional care contractors. First, would you tell us more about the role of these contractors in the TRICARE program?
Certainly. So our T3 contracts are the latest, what we call generation of our TRICARE contracts. And that's the mechanism by which we procure our major purchased health care in the continental United States and Hawaii, and to a little bit of an extent, Alaska. Overseas, we use a different contracted arrangement. We divide the nation up into three regions, our north, south, and west, and contractors bid on a package of health care and services that they will offer to complement our military direct care system in those areas and take care of patients who don't live in close proximity to a military base or facility. That's a long process, designing the contract, bidding and awarding the contract. But in the end, the goal is to provide that best care and services, access whenever and wherever you need it. And with this new generation of contracts, to really focus on health and prevention.
Could you specifically tell us a little bit more about the selection process and any benefit changes as a result of these new contracts?
Well, people want consistency and continuity in care. I want that for my family, as I'm sure you do. But what we've been able to do is we always want to grow and change with the needs of the times. And we have really been able to use these contracts to focus on health and prevention. So for those who are healthy, we want them to stay healthy. And we have put in some actually financial incentives for the contractors to do needed health screenings, to offer immunizations and well child checks and those sorts of things in a very comprehensive ways. And if they do that well, you know, there is a little bit of an award or bonus for them. And also to implement disease management programs more comprehensively than they were in our last generation of contracts. So if you have asthma, if you have congestive heart failure, if you have diabetes, then we want to partner with you to manage your health, to optimally use all the healthcare services so that you stay well. We have a separate pharmacy program which provides retail and mail order pharmacy services. It has a tremendous database so that we can check for drug interactions, any kind of cross-reactivity that might cause you to be unsafe on a particular medicine, even if you're not directly allergic to that. And in these contracts, we have asked the health services, the health support contractor, to work with the pharmacy contractor to partner across that seam and get to the optimal disease management in that way as well. And they'll form formal agreements for dealing with chronic diseases. And then finally, as we looked at some of our needs in the last few years, we have occasionally sent teams of contractors out to help after a natural disaster or a regional disaster, or even sometimes just with a large mobilization or demobilization. And we formalize that arrangement so we can have tiger teams, so to speak, groups that can go into an area that is affected by an unusual circumstance and supplement or augment the services that are already there, kind of a contingency response capability.
Admiral, you mentioned the financial incentives, but what processes are in place to measure and assess whether network providers are really meeting these such incentives?
Well, actually, that's wonderful now because we have all of the data about the encounters that people experience. In the purchase care, it's primarily done through records of claims that are paid. In the direct care system, we have a longitudinal electronic health record. And so we can look at patients at risk, adults 50 and over who may need some cancer screening, for example, and go in and see whether they've had that test in the required period. And when we look at the contractors, we'll look at what percentage of patients who should have had a test actually did receive the test within the required time period. And we're looking for growth in that number every year. So we want a larger percentage of patients to have their needed preventive health screenings.
What are you doing to ensure a smooth transition with minimal impact on beneficiaries? How are you to ensuring that key information flows to all beneficiaries and stakeholders, in particular those affected by the changes in contractors or providers?
This would be a great time to mention our website. So www.tricare.mil is our website, and daily or weekly we post updates on the transition activities and information for beneficiaries. Frequently asked questions. Right now we're being asked a lot of questions about the H1N1 influenza vaccine. So all of those updates are posted to our website periodically. And we have an extensive transition team. So it starts with our technical managers out in Aurora, Colorado, who will be sure, for example, that all the systems which handle electronic claims are able to talk to one another before we transition. And then it comes back to all of our customer service representatives and beneficiary counseling and assistance representatives who learn whether there'll be anything different in a particular area as we may transition between contract partners. We'll get that information out to beneficiaries that are affected. We have looked at things that might need continuity of care. So, for example, maternity care. If you're in the midst of a pregnancy, we would want to give you continuity. Looking at things like chemotherapy. If you were going to get 6 cycles of chemotherapy and you're on cycle number 4, we want to be sure that there's continuity there. And then I've developed my deputy director's top 10 focus areas for T3 transition. And those are areas that I am particularly partnering with our regional directors and with the military services, the Army, Navy, Air Force, and Marine Corps to ensure that each one of those areas gets my personal attention for a smooth transition. And some of those would be some of our unique programs, for example, for wounded warriors, and some places where we actually have what we call support agreements that allow us to make novel use of partnerships with contractors. In fact, sometimes we can bring personnel from the managed care support contractor into the military treatment facility. We need one more anesthesiologist to run the operating room efficiently. And those, we want those agreements to transition so that the processes of care are uninterrupted.
Admiral, healthcare costs continue to grow. Given your role and your experience as a physician, would you highlight for us the factors that you think have contributed to the rise in insurance premiums?
As you know, there are many different things right now that are contributing to the increase in cost of healthcare. There's an inflation factor, which is a little bit higher than a sort of standard commodities inflation factor because of unique things about medical supplies and equipment and personnel. But I would really like to focus on, in our plan, what's caused our cost to grow. And the first thing is we have a lot more users. So the Army has expanded its numbers. The Marine Corps has expanded its numbers. Along with those expansion in troop numbers come family members. Some of them stay to retirement and continue on with us. And in addition, our Guard and Reserve are contributing an awful lot more to the fight, and they also are entitled to benefits under the TRICARE program. So we have a lot more users. Unfortunately, the economy is not as good as it was in years previous, and that sometimes causes people to lose other health insurance that they may have had through a secondary employer or a spousal employer, and people are returning to the TRICARE program as a dependable source of health care. People are using a little bit more health care. What does that mean? I think, again, sign of the times. Our families are under stress. They're experiencing a lot of different factors in their life which may contribute to health care needs. And we are encouraging them, if there are any psychological distressors, to eliminate the stigma and seek out counseling, support services, mental health care where that's needed. So we want them to use the benefit. Then we have, finally, an improved benefit. So we have an awful lot more products that we're offering to people. In the last few years, we've offered enhanced services for special needs children, particularly those with autism. And as we offer special services, it is only natural that people use it a little bit more and then resulting in an increased cost. But hopefully that improves their quality of life and their overall wellness.
You mentioned earlier the pharmacy benefit that you have.
Yes.
How is TRICARE holding down the cost associated with that?
Our pharmacy program consists of course, the direct care system has pharmacies in our hospitals and clinics, and people can pick up their medications there. And the benefit of that portion of the system is that medications are free. There's no copay if you obtain them there. But many patients don't live near a military hospital or clinic, or they prefer the convenience of receiving them through the mail at home. And so we have a fabulous mail order benefit. For a small copay, you get a 90-day supply. We can deliver to downtown Dallas or downtown Baghdad all in about 7 days or less from when you make the phone call, and we'll even prompt you for refills. And we get both a federal pricing discount and a volume discount at the mail order pharmacy, so we're able to hold down the cost very effectively there. We recently were granted federal ceiling pricing controls at our retail pharmacy network, and we're in the process of implementing that program right now. Again, for a small copay, you can go to a commercial pharmacy in your neighborhood and obtain your prescriptions. There you get a 30-day supply for the copay, so it's a little bit more out-of-pocket cost when averaged over a year, but it is very, very convenient. We were paying a usual wholesale price, and that was not very cost-effective for us. In this federal ceiling pricing application to the retail pharmacy will allow us to save, when fully implemented, approximately $1.6 billion per year.
What about the TRICARE Assistance Program? We will ask Rear Admiral Christine Hunter, Deputy Director of TRICARE Management Activity, to share with us when the conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.